Well, this morning we're going to be starting our new series entitled, I Choose. I want you to think about something with me today as we get into this, and think about who you are today, what we are today. If you really begin to examine, you know, how we've got to where we are, you know, why you're where you're at, why I'm where I am, our life is really made of mostly of the sum total of the decisions that we have made. You know, we decided who we would marry, where we would work, if we would go to college, if we would finish this, if we would pursue that. And we can look back and see that we are where we are for the most part because of some decisions that we made. And another question, who will we be tomorrow? What does tomorrow hold for you? What does your future have in store for you? And really, you think about it, the decisions you are making today shape your tomorrow. The choices you make right now, in this moment, impact you tomorrow. Young people, you may not think what you're doing in your teen years is that big of a deal, but let me guarantee you something, it is a big deal. It does matter. The decisions you make now will shape your future. Now, I know there are things we can't control, but if we'd worry about what we could see a lot better future for ourselves and make those choices. So we're going to examine this subject, and we're going to go through this for the next few weeks on I Choose. And today what I'm going to focus in on is this decision. I choose purpose over popularity. You kids are about to go back to school. Some are about to hit college. This message applies to everyone of every age group, because this is a dilemma that every single one of us find ourselves out at some point in life. We're trying to decide what matters most to us. You know, which way am I going to go here? Do I care more about what they think or about where I'm going in life? Do I care more about if everyone thinks I'm, you know, all that, or does it matter, you know, what God has for me? We're going to examine that today. And next week, is any of y'all here controlling? Y'all like to control people. All right. I see you pointing at someone else. Is your spouse controlling? If they are, I want you to raise their hand. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. You might get punched right in the middle of church. We'd have us a fight here. We don't want to start any of that. Next week, we're going to discuss surrender versus control. Now, I'm not telling you surrender to your spouse. We'll explain that next Sunday. We'll have to come to find out what that's all about. But today, we're going to dive into purpose, choosing purpose over popularity. And to get into this subject, for the purpose of introduction, I want you to imagine with me. How many of you have a good imagination? My daughter has an imagination. She has imaginary friends, imaginary toys. She has all this stuff going. I'm not as creative as she is. But I want you to imagine with me for just a minute that everybody thinks you're awesome, that everybody agrees with every decision you're making, that everybody thinks you are it. You're perfect and without flaw. You got that? Is that pretty cool? Now let me tell you something. It will never happen. All right? It's never, ever going to happen. You can never make everybody happy at the same time. Can I get an amen? Right? You're never going to make 100% of the people in your life happy every time you make a decision. It's not plausible. It's not even possible. It doesn't happen because everybody has different ideas about what they want you to do, about what they want you to be. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in the expectations and we miss God's purpose for our lives. And so I want you to think about that. But also imagine something else with me. Imagine with me for a minute that you are so consumed with fulfilling God's purpose for your life, so consumed with doing what you were called and meant to do that you really don't care whether or not they agree with you or not. Now, I'm not telling you to just be in people's face, but I'm talking about getting to the place that it doesn't matter whether or not everybody in your life thinks you're great. It doesn't matter if they approve of you or not, because you're pursuing something greater than the approval of man. It's the purpose of God. And let me tell you this today. Not only is that plausible, that's what God intends for your life. Not only is that possible for you today, I believe that's what God wants for every single one of us in this room today, is to get to a place in God, finding our purpose and fulfilling it, that when we don't make everybody happy, it's not our greatest concern. It doesn't cause us to lose sleep at night. We recognize, I've got a purpose. This is what I was born to do. This is what God has called me to do. This is who God wants me to be. You may not agree, you may not like it, but I'm following Him, and that's where I'm going. And you know what? People who live like that, they actually do something. We're going to get into that today here in just a minute. I want you to really understand today that one of the biggest choices you will make in life is choosing purpose over popularity. This morning, we're going to examine the life of a man that did this. He made this decision. He chose rather God's purpose over everyone else liking him and agreeing with him. We're going to read about him. His name is Moses. If you'll get ready in your Bibles, we're going to be reading in several different places this morning. Well, actually, I'm going to focus in on Hebrews 11, verse 24. We'll have it up here as well, so you can get ready for that. But what I've found is it comes down to this. Most of us, by default, we choose the opposite of purpose. We choose trying to fit in, trying to please everyone. But when we don't know the purpose of something, what happens? We misuse it. When you don't know the purpose of your life, you misuse your life. When you don't know what God intended for you, you spend your life searching and looking for meaning and something that makes you happy, trying to please everyone around you, and you end up misusing what God gave to you. It's kind of a funny story I heard a preacher tell the other day, and he said that when he was a kid in about fourth grade, a friend that was his neighbor came over to his house, this little girl, and you know, they're in fourth, fifth grade, and his dad's gym bag was sitting there. His dad played softball or baseball, whatever, you know, not pro, but just for fun. And in that bag was kind of open, and sitting on the top was his athletic cup, okay? And so this little girl's like, what's that? And the guy's like, you know, I didn't want to tell her what it was. You know, this is kind of an awkward moment here. Trying to explain to her what it was, so I didn't say anything. He said, and all of a sudden, this little girl said, I know what that is. That's a breathing mask. And she picks it up and puts it on her face. When you don't know the purpose of something, you misuse it. How many of you just threw up in your mouth a little bit, right? When you don't know what you were made for, you do what God never intended for you to do. You pursue what God never intended you to pursue. You find that yourself in bad and awkward positions that are not the way that God intended for your life. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, don't ask the thing. Ask the creator of the thing. What I found is a lot of times as people, we don't ask God, what's your purpose for me? We ask the other person, you know, what do you think I should do? And really, we may not go up to someone and say, hey, what do you want me to do? What do you think I should do? What we do is say, do you like what I'm wearing? You know, do you like my hair? Do you like the car that I drive? Do you think I've got a good job? Do you think I'm cool? You know, do you like my Facebook picture? I spent hours filtering that thing to get it just right. You know, do you like me? And we find ourselves not asking God, but rather trying to get approval from everyone in our life, from our friends at school, to family members, to those we work with. We spend our pursuit in our life trying to get them to think we're okay, to get them to think we're great, we're awesome. And what we're doing is we're missing the point. We get so caught up in what everyone else thinks about us that we miss God's purpose for us. And before long, we're living for the approvals of others. You know, am I valuable? Am I worth anything? Don't ask others, ask the Creator. Here's something I want you to get before I reread our text here today. It's a big deal. I want you to remember this today. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. Let me say it one more time. Living for the approval of people will cause you to miss or keep you from the purposes of God. When we are consumed with the approval of others and what they think, we forget what God thinks about us and what God intended for us, and we miss what He wants to do in our lives. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 24. Moses, context here, he was a Hebrew slave. You know, his mom made a basket for him. Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and now he's living Egyptian as an Egyptian royalty. And you know, he's in a place of comfort, but we'll find here that he chooses his calling over his comfort, his popularity. He gives it up for the purpose of God. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about that. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This wasn't some poor person, you know, that he didn't want to. This was the most well-known, popular person in all the land of Egypt. He said, hey, I'll put that aside. Verse 25 says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value. Say that with me this morning. Greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking ahead to his reward. Hebrews 11. That's where we find that here this morning. So you find here that he makes a choice to rather suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment. He regards disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the wealth of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. And this is something I want to get clear before we transition here this morning into some of the points I want to make today. When we say purpose or we say the will of God, sometimes if we're not careful, it becomes mystical. So we're going to demystify this here this morning. You know, we think of, you know, my purpose. We think of, you know, all caps. It's this big word, the one thing that God has for my life. And we get focused, you know, what is God's purpose? What does he want me to do? Maybe he wants me to be a missionary. Maybe he wants me to go to nursing, you know. And we get all flustered and upset. You know, what is God's will? I went to Bible school with some guys that they're still trying to figure that out. But they're missing the point, okay? They're so caught up with finding the one thing that they miss. Let's put it the lowercase purpose here. The word purpose. The purpose for every day. The purpose in every moment. God's plan for you today in your relationship. In your relationship with Him, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with those you work with. What is God's purpose for you in that moment, in that time of difficulty? What does He intend for you to do? And I think a lot of times we get so focused on the big word, we miss that it's made up of a lot of little decisions. It's looking at everything and opportunity that arises and saying, hey, God has a purpose for me today. What is my purpose for today? You know, what is it God wants me to do? You may be in a situation and someone's really having a tough time. You know, your purpose may be to be their encourager. Maybe someone else has a great need and you know about it and you're able to meet it. Maybe God's purpose is for you to meet that need. You know, there's so many different things that we could look at, things that we know God intends for us to do, to have a relationship with Him. His purpose for me today is to know Him in a greater way than I did yesterday. So getting in His Word and spending time in prayer, the purposes of God for me today. Now, we could look at that a lot of different ways, but we've got to make sure that we get that right, that we understand the purposes that God has for me today. You know, if we are to be faithful in the small things, the Scripture tells us that God will make us rulers over many. It begins with every day finding God's purpose for you on the job, at school, in that relationship, with that resource that God has blessed you with. What does God purpose for me right now? Because there's power in purpose. Today we're going to look at three different ideas tied back to this thought, the purpose and the power behind it. Because purpose, when you have it, it diminishes distractions. One of the biggest distractions for most of us is the curse of comparing. You ever compare yourself to anyone else? Well, she's already finished school and I'm in year 10, you know. This was supposed to take me 4, it's not working out. Or, you know, they've already got a good job, they've got the house almost paid off. Look at me, where am I at, you know? And we begin to compare, you know, they've got, you know, their family looks like they got it together and I don't. Or we begin to look at relationships and covet other people's relationships or covet other people's resources. And when we begin to compare ourselves, and the thing with the comparison is that we always feel we don't line up. Does everyone understand that? You've been there before? You know, there's always somebody with a higher grade than you in school. There's always somebody that's got a nicer looking truck, that's got a bigger house, that's got a better job. And if you spend your time comparing yourself to someone else, you will never fulfill God's purpose for your life. We've got to put that comparison aside and find our purpose, because purpose diminishes distractions. I think one of the greatest examples in the Word of God is a man named Nehemiah. Does anyone know who Nehemiah is? I'll tell you here. Nehemiah was a man. The children of Israel had went into captivity, and they're coming to the end of this, and the time of Cyrus, and he lets them return back to their homeland. And they come back, and they find that the walls of the city are in disrepair. You know, everything is open. The enemy can come in at any time. And the scripture tells us that Nehemiah was grieved because of the condition of the wall. And he recognized that was God's purpose for him to build those walls. So you go read the story. He gets permission from the king and he begins to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He begins to rebuild what the enemy had tore down. And something happens here. A few guys come along and they begin to mock Nehemiah. To Nehemiah, you're crazy. Don't you know this ain't going to work? Nehemiah, this is stupid. I mean, you don't got enough help. This is going to take forever. Nehemiah, you're just going to be known as a failure, the guy who started building the broken down wall and never completed it. Nehemiah, you just might as well come on down here. What did Nehemiah do? He said, well, if that don't make you like me, I'll come on down off this wall. Is that what Nehemiah said? If you go and read the story, this is a very powerful story. Nehemiah pretty much says, in effect, I don't care what you think. I don't have time to worry about whether you think what I'm doing is good or it's going to work or not. I don't have time for that. They're saying, Nehemiah, stop what you're doing. This is ridiculous. This doesn't make sense. Nehemiah said, you know what? I'm going to build this wall. You may not like it, but this is what God has called me to do. This is my purpose. This is what God has given me a drive for, and I am going to pursue it, and I'm going to watch what God will do. I don't have time for this. And what I'm afraid is a lot of times in our walk with God, and you know, God begins to put something in our heart. Hey, that's something you need to do, and it's a purpose. It begins to build inside of us, and we begin to pursue it. We begin to build the wall. We begin to obey God. And every time, mark this down in your book, every time you begin to obey God, there's going to be opposition. You think about it. There's some of you going through things right now. You can mark the beginning of it is when you decided to give everything to God and step out in a new way. And all of a sudden, these, you know, Tobiah and these other guys that criticized others who were doing God's will, they begin to say, hey, this is crazy. You're insane. This ain't going to work. They may not even say that. They just may come against you in other ways. And it's like, man, I'm trying to do something for God. And all of a sudden, there's all this opposition. There's something that I want you to understand here today. You shouldn't fear opposition if you're living for God. You should be worried if you're not facing it right now. One of the things that I've learned in life, if you're doing something for God, the devil's going to fight you. If he's not, you might want to check what you're doing and making sure you're obeying God. Because the devil's never going to be happy when you're fulfilling God's purpose for you. Because the enemy knows that if you fulfill your purpose, he can't stop you. If you're living for God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're doing what he's made you to do. He cannot stop you, and the kingdom of God will be advanced. So he sends things in your way to distract you, to cause you to go off base. But when we find our purpose, it diminishes distraction. We become like Nehemiah. He said, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. I don't have time for this. I'm doing something that's greater than anything I've done before. It's something that's deep inside of me and I can't stop. I can't. come down. I can think back in times in my life when God was leading me on to new things. I was working at a bank out of high school. I tried to go to junior college. I had some trying to get the money together, and things just kept going wrong. I had 2 transmissions go out of my truck in 6 months, and all the money I saved ended up putting into trying to fix it. And I was frustrated. I was trying to find God's will. And I went off to a thing for about, it was 3 weeks, I think. It was called the School of Christ. It was just a time of prayer and really getting along and trying to hear from God. And during that time, God spoke to me and said, I want you to go to Bible school. I was like, what? That's crazy. That's not in my plans. Nope. It's not in my to-do list, God. Sorry. And God began to deal with me through that course of the 3 weeks, whatever it was. By the end of it, I knew what God had asked me to do. And I was determined to do it. What happened when I got home? Andrew, that's a great idea. No, that's not what happened. What? I was actually a youth pastor already at the time. I was already doing ministry. I was preaching. I'd preach revivals in different places. You're doing what? This is ridiculous. You don't make any sense. And I remember, you know, the pushback, good people, they had good intentions, but they didn't understand what was going on, that God had a purpose for me. That was a slightly different than what they thought. You know, when God really dealt with us about moving to Gurdon, Arkansas, and I told people where we're going. You're going where? What? Gurdon, where's that at? And you show them. And they still don't see it, you know. And it's like, you know, this why would you, what? And I say, hey, this is where God has called me. And you get to that place and say, hey, God has called me to a great work and a great purpose. I don't have time for this. There's times when you know, without a doubt, this is what God wants. And that's when you can push through with greater confidence. There have been times when I wasn't right and someone questioned me was exactly what I needed to come down to earth. But when I knew that God had a purpose for me that was right on, clear and distinct, opposition actually didn't derail me. It empowered me to go forward. Because I recognized, hey, I've got a purpose. Purpose diminishes distractions and it helps us stay on focus with what God is trying to do in us. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you're trying to get out of debt and people think, you know, you're crazy driving that old car, bringing that paper sack lunch to work, you know. But you say, hey, this is painful now, but there's something ahead that God has for me. Maybe, you know, you're a stay-at-home mom and you can make some money. Why don't you, and people may not understand, but you understand God has something for me. There's a great work and I can't come down. This is my purpose. This is my calling. I must go through with it. You know, maybe you're decided to live pure as God intended. And your generation looks at you, young people, and say, what? That's old-fashioned. But you say, hey, let me tell you something. I'm living for a greater purpose, and I don't have time to come down. I'm not going to compromise with you because God has something greater for me. Purpose diminishes distractions. But secondly, purpose pushes you through the pain. There's some of you here this morning that you really need to get this today, is when you find God's purpose for you, there may be pain. There may be hard stuff. There may be things in your pathway that are hard. They're difficult. They're painful. But if you can find God's purpose, it will help you to push through those pain. And look at it. The pathway to your purpose will always be paved with pain. Let me say that again. The pathway to God's purpose for your life will always be paved with pain. Why? Look at Moses. There was a lot of things that were in his way. He ends up running for his life, living in the wilderness. You know, all the difficulty he went through. Look at David. As he had to run from King Saul, God had anointed him king, but yet he had to run for his life. Look at Nehemiah. How about Esther? How about Mary? How about Jesus? I mean, they had a great purpose, but all of them had to go through great pain to achieve God's purpose for their life. And as I mentioned earlier, don't worry when there is resistance, but worry when there is not. Do what God has called you to do. Others may not like it, they may not understand it, but when you get a hold of what God wants to do in you, that purpose will push you through whatever pain may come in your way. Ladies, I'm going to talk about something I know nothing about. They tell me that having children is painful. You ladies say amen? Oh, it's not. Okay, cool. Man, such a relief. Y'all can't use this on us guys anymore saying, hey, I've had children. You need to. But why do you go through that? Because you know the reward on the other side, the child that God will give you. You know, guys, working out can be painful. I'm not saying it from experience. I really need to work on that. Why do you do it? Because of the results. You guys that play football, why do you go out there and beat yourself up? Because you want to win. When you get that purpose and that finish line in sight, you push through the pain because you have something greater. That pain may be great, but your purpose is greater. That pain may be there, but you understand that God has something more. There's a purpose that's bigger than this, and I'm willing to deal with it. You know, how do you handle the critics? So many people don't like you, you know, they don't agree with you, nothing's easy, but you push through the pain. You know, you start out and it gets hard, but purpose pushes you on. Critics can't stop you. Obstacles won't deter you. Pain won't slow you. You get up early. You work harder. You stay later. Purpose drives you. You can't, but with Christ I can. They say you won't, but with Christ I will, because I have a purpose that's been given by God, and because of it I push through the pain and the opposition I face. So purpose, you looked at it, it diminishes the distraction. Purpose pushes you through the pain. But purpose also empowers you to please God. When Pharaoh tried to stop Moses, Moses wasn't deterred. When the people complained, criticized, and rebelled, Moses stayed on task. You read the life of Moses, you find that because he knew his purpose, he was empowered to do God's will for his life. He was empowered to please God. Look at Peter and the other apostles. You know, they preach Christ. And the religious of their day and in other places, whether it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jerusalem or the pagans in Athens or Corinth, they would come up to him and say, hey, you got to quit preaching in this name. One place, they were losing business, the idol maker's word. So they tried to shut him up. You find story after story where they were told to stop. Stop preaching that stuff. Stop talking about that guy. You know, it's interesting to me is that they told him, stop speaking in that name. Today, you hear people talk about God everywhere, but as soon as you mention the name of Jesus, like, oh, you can't say that. You know, you can pray at the graduation, but don't mention the name of Jesus. They still get offended at that name. You know why? Because there's no other name like the name of Jesus. It's the most powerful, the greatest name in all the earth. People just, they get cringe at it because at the name of Jesus, the word of God says demons tremble. All the forces of darkness have to flee at the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll find that these men, Peter and Paul, and we can go through the list of all of them, when they faced opposition, because they knew they had a purpose, it didn't deter them, but it empowered them to fulfill that purpose. There's a scripture I'm going to read you here in just a minute that explains that to us in a great way. Actually, Acts 5, verse 29. When they came to him and said, hey, I want you to quit preaching in the name of Jesus, what did these guys say? Okay, you know, we want everyone to like us in the community, so we'll quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Is that what they did? They said, you know what? We ought to obey God rather than man. You may not like this, but I have a purpose. I have a calling. There's something that God wants me to do. You may not like it, but you know what? This is what God has given me, a desire and a purpose to do, and I am going to pursue it. I am going to go at it with everything I got. There's something that God has put inside of me. That purpose empowers us to please God. And let me tell you something else. Write this down. You can't please everybody. I say it again. You can't please everybody, but you can please God. I'm going to tell you one more time, if maybe a dozen before we get out of here. You cannot please everyone, but you can please God. You cannot, you're going to get this before you leave here today, please everyone, but you can please God. You can please God. How? You know, how can I please God? What happens is we try so hard to please man. You know, we spend all our energies and all our efforts trying to make sure, you know, that he likes the way you look, or she thinks you're strong or great, or that everyone thinks, man, they really got it together. They got a great house, great car, and man, they got great pictures on Facebook, you know, y'all young people. They really got it together. You know, do you like this? Everything that we do, we're trying to get someone else's approval. Do you like my hair? Do you like my clothes? Do you think I'm cool? Do you think I'm great? Do you think I'll do great things? And we're so consumed with what everyone else thinks about us. And we get back to the point. You can't please everybody, but you can please God. How? When we live faithfully for him, we please God. When we obey God, we please him. When we do the small things, the purposes for me today, when we react in that situation, when we spend that time in prayer, when we open the Word of God, when we fulfill his plan for today, that is how we free God. When we die to ourselves and let Christ live through us, that's how we please God. It's freeing. Let me tell you here, something here this morning. If you're living for the approval of others, it gets old in a hurry. When you got 10 bosses, you're never going to make them all happy. But if you can get to the place that you recognize, I might not be able to please everyone, but I can please God. I can please him. And we die to ourselves, and we allow him to live through us. It's freeing when we come to that place and we recognize we can't make everyone happy, but we can please God. We are set free from pleasing others. And when we are, we step into God's purpose for us. When we get past trying to fit in our society and recognize that God has a greater calling, we are free to fulfill that purpose. We get to the place like Nehemiah. He says, I'm doing a great work and I don't have time to come down. Hey, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to help me build the wall, come on. But if you're here to tear it down and try to get me down, don't have time for that. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. There's some of you that need to get that in your head. You've been allowing everyone around you to discourage you from God's purpose in your life. Now, I'm not talking about rebelling and doing your own thing, and, you know, say not caring what anyone thinks, but I'm talking about living for God, having a purpose. You've been so tied in and tuned into what everyone else thinks that you forgot what God thinks. You've put aside what God has planned and the purpose he has for your life and what he wants to do in you. But today, I believe God wants to tell someone today, it's time that you find your purpose and you get the mindset, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. You can join me, but you're not going to stop me. You can help me, but I'm not going to let you hinder me because God has given me a purpose. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. The choice today. I choose purpose over popularity. I want you to stand together with me across this auditorium today. There's the verse I want to read again at the end of our text this morning. This is powerful. I want you to get it. It says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Today, I want you to know today there's value in being liked by people. I understand that. But there's a greater value in being loved by God. You know, there's value in having fun with friends, but there's greater value in being faithful to God. There's value in starting something important, but there's greater value in finishing something that is important. There's value in comfort and enjoying life, but there's greater value in calling. There's value in being popular. You have influence, but there's greater value in serving God's purpose. Today, there is a greater value. There's a greater purpose today, and I hope you understand and you can make that decision. I choose purpose over popularity. Kids, you're about to go back to school. There's a lot of things I want you to look at, things I want you to do. They'll try to influence you to talk a certain way and do things that you know your parents don't want and definitely is not pleasing to God. Choose purpose over popularity. As a young person, I had a lot of pulls in different times in my life, but what drove me is God has a purpose for my life. I knew I'd been called to preach at the age of 8, and every time those obstacles came up, I said, hey, I'm not giving in to that because I have a purpose. I don't have time to fit in. I have a purpose. I'm doing a great work. God's doing something in me. I don't have time for this. Just go on. Leave me alone. God has a purpose for my life. Maybe today you're neck deep and taking care of the kids. You know, there's diapers and there's dirty clothes everywhere. And the enemy wants to get you distracted. He wants you to say, hey, I can't do this. He wants you to give up and give in. But today, God's wanting to remind you, it's time to choose that purpose over pleasing everyone else. Maybe today you're working hard towards breaking through that debt. And you know, everyone doesn't understand why you're making the sacrifices you are, but understand there's a goal in sight. Now, living for Jesus doesn't always make you popular. People may laugh. They may not understand. You can't please everybody, but you can please God.